Well, welcome again, and we are doing a series on the seven signs of John, the first of which was the miracle of the wedding feast at Cana in Galilee. And we talked about inviting Jesus to get involved with our lives and inviting Jesus to get involved not just with our tragedies and difficulties, but also with our joys and celebrations. And he will take whatever we have and bring abundance and joy. This morning we are in the feeding of the 5,000 of our sign, number 4, and recall that I've asked and even challenged you to think about 4 questions as you maybe come into the Sunday morning or even as you leave, which is, what does this story tell me about people? What does this story tell me about Jesus? What is the message of this to me? And who else needs to hear this story? And so I invite you into this story this morning. We are in the sign of the feeding of the 5,000. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing a large crowd was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for so many people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to have even a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they to so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten to their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, let nothing be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 loaves of barley left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, as I said, we're looking at the sign of the feeding of the 5,000. And as I said, each sign is not just a miracle, but a miracle with a message to each of us. And I'd like to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this minister who was invited to this prayer breakfast, and he showed up. And there was a large group of people, and someone asked a local farmer to pray. And the farmer began the prayer with, "Lord, you know I hate lard." And the minister thought to himself, "Where is this going?" And then the farmer continued the prayer and said, "Lord, you know I hate buttermilk." And the minister thought, "Oh, this is just awful." And then the farmer continued praying and he said, "Lord, I just hate raw flour." And the minister thought, "Oh, my Lord." And then finally, the farmer continued the prayer and said, "Lord, but when you mix them all together and bring forth delicious biscuits, you know I just love biscuits. So Lord, if there's an ingredient in our life that just doesn't seem right, help us to have the patience to wait for you to continue mixing it, knowing that something good will come." Well, can you say amen? It reminds me that sometimes the Lord teaches lessons through food, and this morning is a great example of that. It's the feeding of the 5,000. One of my favorite stories in all the Gospels, and maybe it's yours too, but I invite us to walk back into this story this morning. So Jesus was out on this mountaintop it was sort of a grassy mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Had a picture of it this morning at the earlier service. And there is, in fact, is a church there today named, would you believe, the Church of the Multiplication of the Loaves and Fishes. That's pretty good, isn't it? In fact, there's a rough piece of limestone there. They believe Jesus may have even used as an altar to lay the loaves and the fish to bless them. But in any case, he's out, and a large crowd of people are coming, and Jesus realizes that they're hungry. Now, how many people know that hunger can make you do strange things, right? So, in fact, I don't know if you followed this story in the news where this man and his dog were stuck in their car during a snowstorm for 3 days, and the only thing they had to eat was Taco Bell's fire hot sauce. How many people, you see that story? I don't know how you can survive on 3 days on this fire sauce. So he tried to walk, but realized he wasn't going to make it, and so they went back to the car. He and his dog, and apparently the dog did okay on this fire sauce too, but I can only imagine. But later he posted on his Facebook, "Taco Bell fire sauce saves lives." And Apparently Taco Bell saw that and gave him a year's worth of freebies at Taco Bell. But in any case, hunger can make us do incredible things. And so these people are coming, and Jesus looks at Philip, and he says, where are we going to get food for this crowd of people? Now, it's interesting there because it says Jesus said this to test him. Other translations have to stretch his faith, which I rather like that, to stretch his faith. How many have ever been in a moment where your faith was stretched? Was it an easy time or a tough time? A tough time, right? Because God uses those moments, those hardships, those challenges to stretch our faith and to make our faith stronger. And so it was in this moment, Jesus is sort of challenging Philip. And Philip says, there's nothing we could do to even have a morsel of food for all these people. And so the first spiritual truth that I see here that we can apply to our lives is that Jesus wants to involve us in ministry by using our gifts and talents. You know, because Jesus could have done this miracle by himself, but he didn't. He wanted to involve his disciples and even others. And so he challenges Philip, and then Andrew looks around and says, well, we have a little boy here that has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, for 5,000 people. Now, it says 5,000 men, so it could have been more women and children with them, but we know there's at least roughly 5,000 people and on that hillside. And so Andrew's just doing the best that he can. How many have ever felt like you were under-resourced and overwhelmed by the situation at hand? Have you ever felt that way? And so it was for Andrew in that moment. But notice that Jesus not only involves Andrew, but he involves a little boy. Don't you know that God can use little boys and little girls in ministry too? And I love it when our acolytes are helping out and we have a children's choir for some of the special services that we have, that there's lots of things that kids can do. And so Jesus involves this little boy in an incredible miracle, one of my favorite miracles. And so this boy doesn't hoard what he has, but he offers it to Jesus, to the disciples, to give to Jesus. And so Jesus blesses it. And then he hands it to the disciples to hand it out. Now, it's amazing because Jesus, once again, he involved Philip, he involved Andrew, he involved the little boy, and then he involved all the disciples in handing out this. And we believe, many scholars believe, that it was multiplied as they handed it out. So as they had a step of faith to hand that out, then it began to multiply more and more and more. But what we do know, without any doubt, is that Jesus involved others in the mission and ministry. And I think that call comes down through the ages to you and I today. That whatever gifts and talents that we have, that if we offer them to God, that God wants us to get us involved in the ministry. Not just pastors, but all of us. And so this is sort of the time that we get coached and get ready to go out into the game day, which is the rest of the week. And so God wants us to be involved by using our gifts and talents for Him. That's the first spiritual lesson that I learned from this text. The second one is that whatever we offer to God, we can trust God that God will bless it abundantly to meet the needs. And so this little boy offers what he has, which is very little, 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed a crowd of 5,000. But Jesus blesses it, and it becomes an abundant blessing. And many of us have a very much a scarcity mentality in life, you know. We know that we're under-resourced and overwhelmed, so we want to hoard what we have. But you see here this sort of this lesson that if you sort of sow abundantly, that you'll reap abundantly. And so it was with this little boy. With Jesus' blessing, amazing things can happen. Remember the story of the widow's mite? Do you recall that? A great story. And Jesus is with his disciples near the temple one day. And some of the religious leaders who are rather wealthy are making a big noise about all their giving. And there's this widow who's older, and she gives 1 mite. And isn't much. She's very humble about it. And Jesus points her out to the disciples and said, see what that widow's doing? And he says, there's a lesson there. Because those who have a lot are just making a lot of noise. But this widow is giving out of scarcity. She, in fact, is giving everything that she has. Now, Jesus didn't say, give the mite back to the widow. I think Jesus was saying that this widow has some might, as in might, strength, right? So a little pun if you're with us this morning. So the lesson of the widow's might. So this widow was strong because she was giving all that she had. Just like this little boy was giving all that he had, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But Jesus took it and blessed it, and abundance took place, and Jesus met the needs of the crowd. It's amazing. And so I challenge you today, think about your own life, what gifts and talents you have. Sometimes we feel like, oh, we can't stand up to the occasion. We simply can't do this. But I think Jesus would say in this moment, use whatever gifts and talents you have. Ask for God's blessing. And when you do, they will grow and develop and do amazing things. And so I think that truth is the case spiritually, but I think it's also the truth physically. Because you notice that Jesus cared about hunger, and there's a lot of hunger in our world today. So this is just a spiritual metaphor. It's something about mission and ministry. And we support a number of ministries and missions that reach out to the hungry of the world. And I think Jesus would challenge us to continue that ministry. And you notice how Jesus ended that, right? Jesus said, he told his disciples, go out and collect everything there is so that nothing be wasted. And you know, we live in a world that has a lot of waste. And if we would just take what we throw away many times, we could help the world's hungry in our community locally and around the world. So I think that challenges us today that we'd waste nothing, that we are good stewards of what God has given to us. And so I think it's a lesson spiritually and a lesson physically to us that if we give to God what we have, that God will bless it and bring abundance in our lives. And the third spiritual lesson that I learned here is that Jesus is the bread of life. And it reminds us, in fact, if you look a little later in the chapter, you'll see in verse 40 and following, Jesus is explaining some of this to disciples and some of the crowds that have come. And they're wondering kind of what is the deeper meaning of what Jesus has been teaching them. And Jesus begins to talk about the children of Israel that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years and how God provided daily manna and daily quail to them. And Jesus looks at them and says, I am the bread of life. In other words, you know, sometimes we want enough provision for a week or a month or years in advance, but Jesus is saying, you know, daily, just like the Israelites were fed each day by manna and quail, that I am the bread of life, and I will be sufficient for whatever the challenges of the day are, physically and spiritually, emotionally, relationally, I'm there with you. Just as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and we still pray, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is the daily bread for our journey through the wilderness of life. Come mountain high or valley low, whatever we're facing, that Jesus has the resources for us spiritually, emotionally, relationally to touch our lives and to make it through the journey. So today, when you're thinking about these lessons and how you can apply them to your life, remember that God wants to involve us in mission and ministry so we can meet the needs of those around us, that if we offer to God what we have and trust God, that God will bless abundantly all that we offer him as we're involved in that ministry, and that Jesus is the bread of life, that he will meet the needs of our lives spiritually, emotionally, physically, every need that we have each day as we journey through the wilderness of life, and we can trust him. I want to close with a true story that I think brings together these three spiritual truths. And it's a true story of a little girl by the name of Hattie Mae Wyatt. She was 6 years old in 1884, and she went to Grace Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and the Sunday school was so crowded, she wasn't sure she'd come. And she was 6 years old. For the next 2 years, she attended that Sunday school, had to find her way into the crowd. Tragically, 2 years later, in 1886, she died. Pastor Russell Conwell did the memorial service for her. And then after the service, the parents came up to the pastor and handed him a little bag. And in that little bag was 57 cents. And they said that after her death, they had discovered that bag with 57 cents in it beside her pillow. And there was a little note in that, next to that, that said, to build bigger so that more children can go to Sunday school. Well, the pastor was deeply touched by that, and so there was a lot of pennies in there, but what wasn't a penny, he made into pennies, and he had 57 pennies, and he auctioned them off, and he got $250 for that 57 cents. Well, he took that $250 and changed it into $250 worth of pennies, auctioned those off, that went on. 26 years later, he stood up and gave a talk entitled The History of 57 Cents. And he said, listen, in the last 26 years, this is what's been done with Hattie Mae's 57 cents. First of all, a church sanctuary has been built that's there to this day that seats 5,600 people, and there's 5,600 members. Not only that, there was a hospital built next door that's treated thousands of people, Temple University Hospital, and a university, Temple University, was built where thousands and thousands of people have gone to school. Not only that, more than 2,000 missionaries have gone out from that church around the world and touched people's lives, all because of the vision and dedication of a little girl, Hattie Mae Wyatt, 57 cents. You and I may feel overwhelmed by the needs around us in our church, in our community, in our world, but the truth be told, if we're like this little boy, willing to offer what we have, our 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or like little Hattie Mae, and offer our 57 cents, that with Jesus' blessing, it will be amazing what we can do, because Jesus wants to involve us in the ministry of touching the needs of others, and when we do that, we will be blessed as well. We join me in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the gifts and talents you've blessed us with. Many times they do not feel like they're enough for the challenges of the day and the needs around us. But we know that if we partner with you and ask you to bless our gifts and talents as individuals, as families, and as a family of faith, that it will be amazing what we can do. And so we offer our gifts to you, we offer our lives to you, and we pray for your blessing as we minister to those around us. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen.